Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's time again for the Ocean State Theater Company to return with their newest production coming into town. It's going to be called Rounding Third. And with us tonight, of course, is the lovely and talented Amy Turner.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having us on again.
Nice to have you with us. And Amy is acting as not only artistic director, but the director of Rounding Third. And then the two stars of the show are here, the quiet and charming Fred Sullivan Jr. is here, Fred.
Lovely and talented. Fred Sullivan Jr.
Quiet and charming.
Nice to be here.
Have you ever been described as quiet and charming?
No. But sometimes they say overbearing and...
now you have something new.
I'm going to try to be quiet and charming during this program.
Because you can, you know, how stars use things as quotes for PR material. You can say on radio, I was called quiet and charming.
I will put it in quotes.
There you go. And the one and only, the cute and cuddly, Joel Kipper is back. Joel, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Mike. I'm just like a sugar glider.
Just like a sugar glider, which is an inside radio joke. I'll tell the audience about sugar gliders at some other point. But right now, Joel is here. And he is the managing producer, I believe. Is that a correct title?
That is correct. You've got it.
Wow. I pulled that out of somewhere. And Joel is the other star. Fred and Joel will be starring in this two-man show, correct? The whole cast?
Yep. Just Fred and I. So it's going to be a lot of laughs.
A lot of laughs. Amy, as director, is it going to be your job to try to corral these two?
Well, yes, I suppose that's true. But I think when you have these guys coming into a project and it's really a very fun show, that you manage them more, you sort of focus them, but really let their talent just speak for itself. Their humor, their bantering, let's just say it's been a lot of fun.
Now, Fred, you're not a new guy here at Ocean State Theater. You've been here before, and you've been in Rhode Island a lot.
Right.
So let's just give the audience, for the three people that are listening in some remote outpost in the Yukon Territory that don't know who you are, let's bring a little...
They don't know who I am?
Right.
I've been at Trinity Rep for 30 years, and I played 115 roles there, and I've directed there a couple of times. I love Trinity. It's my artistic home, and...
Almost as much as you love the Ocean State Theater.
And I love the Ocean State Theater. Last year, I was not working for a couple of months, and they called me up and they asked me to play Max Prince in Laughter on the 23rd Floor, which is Neil Simon's tribute to the writers in Sid Caesar's room. I had a perfect experience with these guys. I just had a ball. It was a hit for us, and more important than that, we just kind of loved each other and working on the material. So when they called me to do Rounding Third, I was... I said yes, when do we do it? And it's really a joy.
You knew the show before they called you?
My friend, who I went to college with, who's a Broadway actor, had been in it, and he recommended it highly to me.
Excellent.
He thought he had a great time out in San Diego doing it, and it played the part that I'm playing. And he said, oh, it's great. We worked with the guy who wrote it, and it's a wonderful character study of these two guys and how they treat life differently and baseball differently and children differently and just life. And so he loved it. He had a great experience with it, and that made me confident that we would too.
Great. Joel, in picking this show, Fred mentioned the term baseball. Obviously, it's about baseball. Give us a little synopsis.
Yeah, so it's sort of an odd couple story, but it's about two Little League baseball coaches, one who really focuses on, the winning aspect, and winning is fun. The other character, the character I play, Michael, is just looking for a bonding experience with his son. His son's sort of always that stereotypical last guy picked on a team, not a lot of friends in school. So looking for an experience for him and his son to bond with. So Fred's character, Don, needs a new assistant coach for the team. And so Michael comes on board to be that assistant. And then they come together and learn how to coach this team in two different styles.
It's so true. And I think that's really the fun of it. It's also the heart of it. It's a very funny show, but it has a really beautiful heart to it because, you know, they're little questions about Little League and about little children and, you know, maybe a small town, but they're really bigger questions about, you know, what is important in life and how important it is to be a father and, you know, what kind of father do you want to be? What kind of coach do you want to be? What kind of man do you want to be? And it's just, you know, I've said from the stage, all I need to tell you is it's about Little League and you will know it's funny. So it, wrapped up in all of this heart and soul is you know, the thought of these two guys battling it out, so to speak, on the best way to coach the team.
All right. As usual, when we have Amy and crew here, that means the show is going to open on Wednesday night, and we're going to give you a lot of details about that. But we want to get to a little music just to set the tone, and what could do it any better than Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
Well, if the Red Sox were in this stadium tonight, this would probably be around the seventh inning stretch. So, Charlie, crank it up there. I think we better sing the song, don't you?
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with a crowd by. Is that the way that goes, Joe?
Yeah, Cracker Jacks and all sorts of things.
I think
in
my
there.
Timing might have been a little off. Amy, the show is opening Wednesday night for previews as usual. Tell us some more details.
Well, it really does take place in and around this one particular season. And as Joel alluded to, you know, here you have these two guys. And I think it's interesting that Richard Dresser has said publicly that his son came home from practice and he said, "We've got this great strategy." And he said, "Well, really, what is that?" And he said, "So if it's really close at the end of the game, we're going to pretend like we're hurt if we get on base so the coach can put in a faster runner." And his dad, the man who wrote this play, he was like, "Well, wait a minute, that isn't right." And so it all sort of comes out of that, like, strategy versus cheating, which I have to say in New England is a really big deal right now. I'm not making judgment, but it is a question. It is a legitimate question. Do you teach kids strategy or do you teach them cheating? And at what cost is winning? And that's what's fun, because the two guys come at it from completely different places with completely different objectives. And so can they get along? Can they make it through the season? The author
said he couldn't tell the difference between telling the kids to pretend they're hurt to Enron. You know, he said it's one step.
Amy, you were alluding to something here in New England that's very sensitive. Now, you know, if you grew up in Kansas City, you don't win anything, so it doesn't make any difference.
Well, unless you're playing the Patriots, and then you do win, and then they go on to win the Super Bowl. So
the Royals are doing okay.
Royals are doing good.
All right, so we're back to baseball, I guess. And Fred, your character is the is the rough and tumble type.
Well, my name is Donald. I can only be called Don. His name is Michael. He can only be called Michael. So that kind of says it all about who we are. My character paints houses for a living. His son is the star pitcher. He talks to his son at night about who's good and who's bad. He gets all the notes about the other players from his mm-hmm. boy. Mm-hmm. There are many crises. Yeah, I love that. There are a lot of problems that happen throughout the play that challenge him, and he's kind of an aggressive personality. So you watch him kind of try to deal with all the things that are happening against what he wants.
Now, as a professional actor in Rhode Island, there's not thousands of them that live here. There's a handful of professional actors such as yourself, and I think you've given us a little insight as to why someone like you becomes a professional actor.
Well,
and he's giving me this blank look, and everybody in the room is just silent.
No, why someone like me would become a professional actor, I would live in Rhode Island.
No, I don't care about that.
The things I don't care about is a much longer list. But
here's what I was getting at. You mentioned that this character that you're playing is a house painter.
Yes.
And I heard you before the show started.
I just painted my house. I stained it. It's red cedar shingles. So I also went to a Little League game my friend is my age and has an 11-year-old who's playing on the Arden Aces. And I went to see a 6-inning Little League game a couple of blocks from my house down there in Providence. And it was amazing. And I found myself really caught up in winning and losing and how nice they were to each other and what the fathers were saying and what the coaches were saying. I'll get it. And it was incredible how engaged I got and how I cared about who won. And I was a stranger to all.
And there you go. See, Joel, that's why you pay the big bucks for professional actors.
Absolutely. Now,
I do my research. I paint my house and I go to a Little League game.
See. Now, what have you done lately?
You know, not lately. I mean, it was funny because Fred and I were talking about this. The last time I was at a Little League game was many, many years ago. And I had graduated from college and was out on the road as an actor and was visiting a friend in Oklahoma. And her younger brother was playing. And I remember, again, talk about getting swept up. I remember almost getting kicked out of the Little League game because I was cheering on my friend's little brother's team. And I was, taunting the other opposing pitcher with the, hey, bada, 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 swing, and all that stuff. And I remember one of the umpires turning around and looking at me and giving me a warning. And
it can get a little shocking, especially when you see the fear and shock in the little children's eyes. But I type down everything that people were yelling into my phone. So, I mean, you kid me about research, but I was sitting there going, oh, that's a good phrase, and oh, that's cool.
All right, we've got a piece of music called Center Field. Joel, why did you pick this?
To me, this is my favorite baseball song. Like, when I go to the ballpark or I think about this Center Field, John Fogerty, this screams summer baseball.
Hold the phone. The sun came out today.
Amy, the show starts on Wednesday with previews on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday. Let's tell everyone that's listening how to get tickets.
Sure. Well, I always say go to the website first, www.oceanstatetheater.org. That's O-R-G. Or the box office opens every day at noon, so feel free to give us a call at 401-921-6800. And, of course, there's information about the show and all the other great things that are happening at Ocean State Theater.
Excellent. We're going to get to one piece of music before we take our first break because we ran a little bit long in the first segment, which we knew we would do with this group that's in the studio that doesn't like to talk very much. If we get to Sweet Caroline, Joel, is there? Does it need any introduction or just leave it at that?
Hey, we're in Red Sox country. I don't think it needs any introduction.
All right. We'll listen to Sweet Caroline and be back with more of Ocean State Theater and the crew of Rounding Third.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. The night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Warm, touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline, good times never seem so good.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano. We are sitting with Fred Sullivan Jr., Joel Kipper, and Amy Turner. And the director is Amy, and Joel and Fred will be starring in Rounding Third, which opens on Wednesday night. And Amy, the theater is a very, very busy place. Lots of things happening all the time. So I'm going to take this moment now to just kind of recap what's coming up after Rounding Third. Big announcement coming, I think. We're going to have a scoop here, are we? for our audience? All right, so I'll ask you about that, and then other things happening at the theater.
Well, this does kick off our summer season, as it will. We typically do the two shows on the summer, and we also run our summer camp program. So we want to make sure that if there's anyone out there with kids or grandkids that are really interested in theater, it's a really diverse, well-rounded, award-winning camp. And this year, we're also starting our Camp OSTC Junior program. So all that information is online, of course. There's still a couple of spots open. It's done in two sessions, starting the Monday after July 4th. So that's pretty exciting and always sort of the hot ticket for the kids. But we're going to do a musical in July, and that will be the Broadway blockbuster. Some people call it the perfect musical. And that is, of course, Gypsy, the fantastic sort of backstage look at Gypsy Rose Lee and her mother Rose, her sister June, of course, who grew up to be June Havoc, and the early years on that. And I think you're alluding to some of the casting news going on. So we are bringing the King from The King and I back. Chris Swan will be playing Herbie, and I will be returning to the stage as Rose. Hey,
Ocean State Theater debut.
Well, no. I was in Laughter
on the Street. I
always forget. You were pregnant in that, and then I forget.
Well, not really pregnant, for those people listening. Right. I played a pregnant woman. But obviously, that was a really fun, just a little small part in an ensemble piece. So coming back to play Mama Rose is very exciting for me. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to star opposite Chris Swan. Anyone who saw Race or The King and I or Legally Blonde, he's just such a terrific actor, and he's been out on the road for a couple of years, traveling all over the world in the United States, and so we're really excited to have him back as well. Then, of course, coming up next season, kicking off in September 30th, I'll quickly go through our season for next year. We're starting with The Addams Family, which is a fun musical.
Can provide background music if you want.
Ooh. Oh, right. Da 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 da.
Yeah. So all your favorite Addams Family characters are in that. It's a great deal of fun. Around the World in 80 Days is in November.
Around the World in 80 Days.
Of course, matched with the Jules Verne novel. Five actors playing about 32 different characters. Extraordinarily amount of fun. We come back after the first of the year, which with a play called Breaking Legs, which may or may not take place on Federal Hill. I'm just saying. It is about some quote-unquote family members that decide to invest in a Broadway show. Very, very funny show. And then kind of the show that's getting the most buzz right now, our winter musical will be 1776, a really honest look at the what it really did take to get the Declaration of Independence written and the Constitution written, and takes place obviously in 1776. A lot of men. We've been laughing about that, but it's got so much heart, and I think a lot of people love it because it also has a tremendous amount of humor. Some of the funniest songs ever written for that. Then The Miracle Worker is our spring play. Of course, the wonderful story of Annie Sullivan and Helen Keller. So a lot of inspiration going on there. That'll definitely be one of the three shows, but the main target for our educational outreach programming. And then closing, I like to say from A to A, from The Addams Family to Anything Goes, Zany Cole Porter. Unbelievable. It's almost like a door slamming farce kind of a show, but set to music. And then you have tap dancers. So what could go wrong?
Absolutely. Sounds like a terrific season with a lot of other things we'll catch you up on. Joe, let's get back to rounding third. And we listened to Centerfield in the first segment, and now we're going to go to right field.
Yeah, of course. This is the atypical Little League song, right? The boy daydreaming out in right field. This is the Peter, Paul, and Mary classic. So, again, one of those songs you hear and can't help but think about baseball.
Saturday summers, when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard. Here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains, we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure, my self-esteem Cause the fastest, the strongest, played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. I never needed to ask, it was sealed. I just took up my place in right field. Playing right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward and you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions. Little leagues never have lefties that pull. I dream of the day they'd hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray that I'd make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to be here in right field. It's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions. Game's dragging on, there's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling, and I don't know what for. Suddenly, everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering, what could it be? They point to the sky, and I look up above. And a baseball falls into my glove. Here in right field, it's important, you know. You gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
During that last song, we were talking off air, and I asked both Joel and Fred, you know, the things that make a show interesting and want people to come to it. We talked about Little League and how a lot of people have had that in their background. And I'm curious as to, you know, sometimes when you're in the professional athletic field or other places, language can get a little rowdy and so forth, but this is somewhat family friendly, right? This isn't going to be too bad, Joel. You just can.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's. I think Fred just said it. You know, there's nothing in the show that you wouldn't hear at a normal ballpark. Let's put it that way. But you know, there's some minor adult language, but nothing extreme, and certainly I think still enjoyable for everybody to be a part of. And like I said, it's a wonderful show in the sense that it is very these two guys. It's very much real and. You know, baseball really is a huge part of it, but there's, I think Fred alluded to earlier, there's some life things that both of the gentlemen go through or going through, and, you know, especially as we get towards the end, it's interesting to see people, again, because these two guys are from different worlds, they come together for this common goal, and then, you know, as they get toward the end of the season, are they going to stay friends? Are they not going to? Did they really bond? Did they not bond? So it's kind of a interesting, fun journey that they go on throughout the show.
Fred, when you decide to take a show like this, which is very different from a lot of productions you've been in, where there might be a cast of 15 or 20 or more, and you decide, okay, I'm going to take a show and I've got to work with Joel every day.
I knew that Joel, I read it and I knew Joel was going to play this part. It's so funny. Joel was my coach for Punching Holes in the Wall and the Neil Simon play. And I kind of got very fond of him and I thought he was great. But I actually heard his voice in my head while I was reading the script without knowing that he was going to do it. So sometimes that just happens. And this is my third two-man show that I've ever been at Trinity. Really? We did Stones in His Pockets, which is two people play 37 parts, and I had a ball doing that. And then at the GAM, I did Red, which is about the artist Rothko and his assistant, and that was a profound experience in my life. And then this, to work so closely with Joel, who I really, really grew fond of last year, is like it's... The theater boiled down to what you really need is two actors, do you know what I mean?
Right.
Who can really kind of do everything and communicate and tell a story. So it's breaking it down to kind of the common denominator of this is how you tell a story. Two actors on a stage engaging the audience.
And just relating to each other.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Joel, we have a song called Glory Days, right?
Yeah, the Bruce Springsteen classic. Again, one of those summer songs at the ballpark. A lot of stadiums play this song, and so, again, one of those songs you hear, and I just think you think, hey, let's go to the ballpark.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Make you know.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with Ocean State Theater Company's Amy Turner, Joel Kipper, and Fred Sullivan Jr. Joel and Fred will be playing the two leading roles, the two only roles, I guess.
The only roles,
so you're both stars in a show called Rounding Third that we've been talking about Little League and life experiences in general, I guess, when there's that kind of relationship. And you open up the theater to two guys kind of, well, I don't want to say exposing themselves, but you know, bearing their soul about some of the things that might go on in a relationship like that. So it's I'm looking forward to it. Fred, you mentioned that you had done two-man shows,
yeah,
in your experience, in your long experience of acting. Have you ever done a one-man show?
I haven't done a one-man show, no.
So we have to write a one-man show for
that,
you.
Let's get to it.
All right.
If a one-man show is as fun as it has been doing two-man shows, then I'm all for it. But it's really about the chemistry in the room all the time, as you know, because you're a performer and an actor yourself. When you trust the director and you have a copacetic or a connection, chemical reaction to the other actor, really kind of magic happens. And this has been an amazing process in that we laugh every day, and right, now it's time to share it with an audience.
And Amy, as your role as director, is it do you have to do more controlling than directing?
Well, at times, but I think that honestly, when you direct any show, it really is, hopefully, in my perspective, the best directors sort of take what's inevitably there that everybody brings into the room and all of that energy, and you really just try and trim it down and focus it and point it in the right direction, so to speak. But at the end of the process, you know, when it comes to opening night, you have to trust that everything that you've created is going to continue on without you. And I have the luxury of directing at Ocean State Theater Company as the artistic director, so I don't leave. But if I directed another theater or we bring in a guest director, you know, they leave after the process. So, you know, it really is about finding that energy, finding that dynamic between whether it be two people or 22 people, and making sure that it does continue to be fun and engaging and find the heart of it and, you know, just keep it going beyond that.
Now, you just finished a production with a large cast, like 20-something people on stage. Is that more difficult to direct, or do you find it more difficult to direct when you're dealing with just two guys and trying to get your message across, or do you just let them kind of roll with it, as you just said?
I don't know if there is such a thing as more difficult. It's a very different process. When you have, especially two actors, and I've actually have directed a one-man show before, you know, that when you have a small cast, certainly two people, you really have to respect the fatigue factor. I mean, it's a lot of thinking and emoting, and, you know, the focus is very difficult. Whereas with a big musical, especially a musical that has tons of moving parts, it's almost like a weaving together, and you kind of have to keep everybody revving up. But, you know, there's endurance involved in being able to keep up the emotional and mental stamina for that long. So it's I don't know if it's more difficult.
Right.
It's more simple because you really have less to deal with, but I can't say it's easier.
They say when you play a lead in Shakespeare, you need to know where the breaks are. And this, there are no breaks.
Well,
do you know what I mean? You're out there all
right.
the time. But it's really important to know in a musical or Shakespeare, something big that you're carrying, where you can rest, where you can take care of yourself. This, you can't. It's relentless.
And this is a really fluid piece, too,
yeah,
with, you know, that it covers an entire season. And so the gentlemen sort of take turns almost walking from one moment in that season, one day, to the next moment. It's very, very fluid in its storytelling.
I think Amy would agree with me that when it's a small cast, you can kind of shape what people are bringing to it. When it's a big cast, there's a lot of kind of traffic management and trying to get everybody on the same page and trying to, but a small cast is really kind of drawing out what is already there and less kind of blocking or less...
Right.
Problems like that. Yeah. It's fascinating. Every job, that's why we love what we do, because every single, like every 3 months, there's something completely different to tackle.
I'm fortunate enough as to be able to do a talk back with the audience after every show on the Sunday after it opens. So a week from tonight, we'll be doing the talk back for Rounding Third. And I think one of the most frequent questions that we get during it from the audience when we're asking questions is, how do you do it? How do you learn all this in such a short time? And how do you manage to continue it night after night?
Yeah, well, we rehearse. We take it seriously. And it takes over our lives. Yeah, you know, it's our profession.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that, oh, it's just you and Fred. There must be a lot of lines. And, you know, how do you memorize that? How you do that? You know, and I understand it's typical. But again, you know, like Fred said, I mean, that's the nature of the job. That's what we do. Mm. And, you know, it's one of those things that it does take rehearsal, and that's why you rehearse. And even though it was a short process, you know, as an actor, and that's why, you know, I admire myself and fellow actors, because it's a different part of the brain that you just have to, it's a different muscle, you know.
It's sort of like asking a carpenter that builds a house, wow, you must have to hammer a lot of nails. How do you do that? You know, and it's sort of that simplistic, that it's, you know, it's very fatiguing to swing a hammer, so to speak, and it's not the easiest task to memorize, but that's how you get to the completed house. That's how you get to the
show.
Would
you agree that good writing is easier to memorize than bad writing?
Yes. And hopefully good direction
right.
helps as well, because the movement and the blocking and the set design and all of that sort of leads you from one place to the
other.
And
we do long days, 6 days a week. I mean, we don't, you know, it's right. not the church basement for 2 hours a night. Or, you know, it's all day. It's
that's,
our job.
That's why it's called professional.
And we go on, you know, we really yeah. look under the hood of every single beat. So you say this because I say that, and this is why, and we ask a lot of questions. We constantly, you know, to make sure every color is played fully. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a little scheduling change here. We had planned a couple pieces of music, but I think we're going to just keep talking and then close with Joel's big theme music that he wanted.
Hey,
I am a
sports fan. I'm a baseball fan, but I am a sports fan, and you know, The Natural with Robert Redford. That's one of the quintessential sports
baseball right. movies, so like Field of Dreams. The Natural.
We're going to skip
It'll make you cry.
We'll get back to that in a moment, and we'll just talk for another minute or two here to kind of wrap up. And also, I do want to get in that we'll be having an opportunity for not only a talk back, but I want to encourage you to buy tickets for this, because what a perfect Father's Day present this would be. This would be a great thing, and you don't have to wait till Father's Day.
No, yeah, certainly, you know, we're playing for the next 3 weeks, but certainly the show closes on Father's Day, so it's a wonderful Father's Day gift. If you haven't even thought about it, this is a great way to think ahead. If you get delayed and you need a last minute Father's Day gift, again, wonderful gift. Bring Dad. I think, not having seen the show, because I can't see it because I'm in it, but I think Fred and I are having a lot of fun up there, and I think Fred said it, you know, it's something that I think we can share with the audience, and especially for dads out there, I think it's going to be a great time for them to sit and watch.
Excellent. Amy, once again, box office number and website and so forth?
Yep, so the website is oceanstatetheater.org, and of course the phone number, if you don't know already, write it down, 401-921-6800. And I'm just going to riff on that for a hot second, because I think one of the things I love about this show is that it is about two guys. So it really is something you can bring your dad to, you can bring your grandfather to, you can bring your son to, because it's about two men and it's about their life. But as a woman, I'm going to tell you that it is equally fun to sort of watch, you know, if you're a fan of men, and I hope most women, if not all women, are, right, that you really do, you can observe this really charming, very masculine sort of journey that they take. And I think that it's just so sweet, because it is about Little League. And, you know, Fred had said when he saw the game, he was like, they're so tiny. And, you know,
yeah,
we forget how little League is. And yet how it really does speak to a broader thought and a broader process. And
the way the two guys
guys
think are
they're
really a metaphor for everything. Yeah. I mean, it's...
And how impressionable, you know, those experiences at that time, at that age of your life. I mean, Fred's character talks about it. You know, my character asks him, well, who really remembers what you did in this game when you were 11? And he, you know,
he remembers every second. I mean, he says his favorite day of his life was when he was 12.
Well, there you go.
Which is amazing to me.
Well, Fred, thanks so much for coming in,
taking
the time out of your busy schedule. Be back with us here on Conducting Conversations. And we look forward to not only the opening on Friday night that I'll be at, but Sunday for the talk back and be interesting to have the audience have a chance to just quiz the two of you.
Yeah.
Versus a large cast that is sometimes up there. Joel, thank you for coming in. Great to see
you
again.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you, and good luck to the Chiefs.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Amy, thank you, as always, for coming in and being part of Conducting Conversations.
Of course. It's always a pleasure.
And the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.